Hi, I'm Chris Clark from GeekForce5.com, and you're listening to episode number, I can't count that high. I've run out of fingers. 11.
Is it 11?
11. 11. Of Generation Goat. With me, as always, is John Martin of Songs That Saved Your Life and Listen.com. Yeah. I mean, there's just one shh.
It's a website that cannot be named. Hi, everybody. And if we've just done our job, you were just listening to the wonderful sounds of auto-tuned wolves.
Yes.
I saw on Gizmodo this week.
I John sent me a lot of stuff that I check out, but it builds up in my inbox. And sometimes I forget to check it out until after the show. And John will say, hey, did you check this out? And I'll be like, no. So just before we started recording, I actually was like, damn, he's going to ask me about that wolves thing. I better check it out. And it was hilarious. And I said, we've got to get that as our opening theme somehow. But it's a YouTube video, so who knows? Will we have successfully...
I have a program that'll extract the audio.
Awesome.
I'll get on that. But, you know, what amazes me, as I said to you in email, is that, like, that really does require someone to sit down somewhere and say... What can I do with my time today? you know what the world needs? You know what it doesn't have? It doesn't have, you know, more auto-tuning. It needs, but not just auto-tuning. We need it for wolves, man. You know? like wolves are really underrepresented in the auto-tune community.
I
could maybe help out there. Let me find some fat beats and some wolves, and I'll get right on them.
Apparently, it was created with a $2.99 iPhone app, or iPhone/iPod Touch application.
Oh, and probably iPad, yes.
That's true. Although you probably need a microphone.
I was so pleased when I had to update all of my apps, and the only thing it said in the change log was, now iPad compatible. Thanks. Waste of my time.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, if you look at iTunes now, you've got sort of a one row. Well, it might grow to be more rows of iPod, iPad, and iPhone compatible, and then below that are the majority of things, which are just.
I really hate the iTunes Store. I should tell you in general. Just I hate the application. Period. But never mind. Well, so anyway, the app.
Yes, supposedly you sing into it, or you put audio into it, and it creates the song by itself. So supposedly all the person had to put in was the sound of the wolves.
Wow.
And that they got the song out of that. So I can think of numerous applications for that. Yesterday, we haven't even introduced the fact that I had a baby since the last
you did?
I didn't have it. My wife had it.
Well, I mean, you have it now. It's
yes. Well, yesterday she had three shots, the new baby, and was screaming, screaming, screaming. And I was thinking just this morning, I'm like,
wait, she had three shots at the baby? Or, sorry, I'm confused now. Oh, no, the baby had shots.
Three immunizations.
I get you. I'm with you. Sorry, folks. I should point out, it's just the crack of noon over here. And, you know,
just
I told
back
Chris wanted to start this at 6 a.m. Eastern, and I told him, you know, okay, fine. If you can get up that early, then I can probably get out of bed before noon. And you know what? I lied. So if you hear me drinking Diet Coke or eating cookies, it's because I'm, you know, having a healthy breakfast over here. Anyway.
Before I sort of ask you, so baby screaming into the iPhone app, I think would make for an interesting song. Maybe some speed metal.
I think would make for an interesting song, or already has made for an interesting song?
It has not. No, I have not. I have not bought the app. Although now I'm thinking maybe I need to buy it for the baby screaming, and that will be our outro music.
You know, as I said this week, man, friends don't let friends auto tune. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
A friend of ours made an album this week on which there was some auto tuning, and I can tell you, a little part of my soul died.
Little part.
Somewhere I would ordinarily expect to hear it from.
Well, you know, to be I was about to give something away. I was going to say, to be fair, given the genre of music that he or she was working with, maybe, you know, maybe it allows for some weirder stuff than we would normally get from him or her.
I've realized now that this is the first thing that I will not compromise on that marks me as old.
Auto-tuning.
You know, people are like, oh no, it's just, you know, that's what the young people like these days. And no, if that's true, then I am hereby declaring my, you know, curmudgeonly old man coming out, because no, the young people are wrong. They're just stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, that's where you are, the makers of that, you know, horrible abomination that was the remade We Are the World.
Oh, nope. Gosh. I haven't even... Did I listen to it once?
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, I did. I did listen to it once. Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, not that, you know, they didn't get all the craziest people they could find, which I suppose is a prerequisite.
Right.
But, yeah.
Was Dan Aykroyd there? I mean, that's what really counts.
No, they got Tony Bennett this time for the random Kong factor.
But at least... See, Tony Bennett sings, you know, like Dan... Well, I guess Dan Aykroyd, Blues Brothers, you know, whatever.
But, I feel like we've complained about this before. There were really just two things, and we'll go back on topic in a second, but there were, you know, two things that drove me crazy. One, the part of Cyndi Lauper is now played by Celine Dion. And if that doesn't scream, you know, the corporate murder of anything good and decent in the world,
yeah.
I don't know what does. And second... It had a rap verse that sounded like it wanted to kill my grandmother.
Because everything has to have a rap verse now.
Yeah. And, like, the lyrics were positive, I suppose, but it was just so terrifying in its construction.
Well, if it had one thing going for it, it's that now, a few years removed from the new metal, Limp Bizkit kind of music, it did not have to have the sort of, like, rap metal verse that the What's Going On remake had a few years ago.
True. Although apparently Limp Bizkit currently trying to make their triumphant comeback. So thank God, because we've gone 10 long years without, you know, rap rock, and we really need more of it.
No. Yeah. Well, there are a couple Limp Bizkit songs that, in the right mood, but
you know. No. But you know, it's just. I think actually the whole new We Are the World is summed up quite nicely. The official video has, it ends, and Lionel Richie, who of course, you know, was very heavily involved in the first one, they have him kind of, you know, commenting on it.
Right.
And his actual first response is, wow. In exactly that voice, as if to say, wow, we worked really hard and tried to do something really cool, and
this is what we came up with.
Good work, everybody. Good work. It's like the Special Olympics. You all get a trophy, but yeah.
But anyway,
so you're gonna auto-tune your kids.
I'm gonna auto-tune my kids. Yeah, I think so.
Right.
It could be the entire next Pop Bubblegum Trash album. It could just be my auto-tune children.
Well, all right. I suppose that's a step up.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
wait, what did he say? No, did he just help me out? So, let me see. Somewhere way back in the middle of me talking about auto-tuning, I was going to ask you a question. And now I can't remember what it was. I think it might have had to do with... why is it so hard to get up before noon? What's been going on, man?
What's going on? No, we got to remake that one. you know, the problem is, I like it when we leave an obvious musical cue right under the... I'm still working on a dissertation, and I'm literally on the 38th draft of my introduction.
Gosh.
I've handed in three, so something really bad happened after the third one, wherein the readers said, oh, this makes no sense, it's so confusing, which way am I supposed to read the paper, like right to left or left to right, or I don't understand. And Yeah, so I've been staying up very, very late at night, and it has not been the easiest month. I was supposed to be done a month ago. Okay, this is, let's just say, I'm going to look at the clock, we'll go 5 minutes of complaining about bad things that have happened, and folks, if you wanted to skip ahead, skip ahead. But
All right,
I'm looking at the clock, and...
Go.
So... Yeah, no, I had to move last month quite suddenly and unexpectedly. I had been living with a very horrible housemate. You know, and it was the usual stuff that you expect from an English undergraduate, to be honest. Not someone who studies English, but an English person who is male and undergraduate. So this is the kind of housemate that, like, 6 nights out of 7 would just drink a bottle of vodka. Or like 20 beers, and you know, would break furniture, throw food at the walls, knock stuff over, never cleaned up after himself ever, poured coffee in the stove and left it there for some reason. You know, let's not talk about the bathroom, which it seemed that he considered the entire bathroom his toilet, not just that part.
Oh, man,
we think of his toilet. So, you know, it's the usual stuff. And it's sad to say the usual stuff, but it's kind of true. And I said, okay, you know what? It's fine. I can just clean my room and I'll clean up after, you know, the bathroom and I'll get by because it's cheaper. But then he had a party.
Oh no.
And he had many of his friends come over who were just like him. And he left them in the house and he went out. And it got worse and worse. And then they all went out, and he came back in the middle of the night, as usual, quite drunk, left the front door open, broke a bunch of stuff, with a couple of friends, and then his friends came back at 4 in the morning, separate of him, and did terrible things in the house, terrorized my housemate, and then in the morning we discovered they left all the gas on in the kitchen, without it being lit. They just turned everything on and left. Which was kind of like, yeah, okay, I'm done. You know, I wanted to move anyway, and that was just the catalyst. So I moved and ended up hiding out in Nora's attic for a week and a half while I looked for another place to live. But it's fine. You know, it's furnished. It was okay. It was a little weird, but, you know, it was okay.
Hey, you've lived in a basement. You
know? That's right. I've lived in a basement, and now I've lived in the attic, and thank God it wasn't a V.C. Andrews novel.
Nice.
So, wow, that name came to mind too easily.
That came to mind a little too easily.
Yikes. Yeah, so it was really kind of a distraction. And then, yeah. So now I live in a new building, and the people I live with are, you know, nice, and it's relatively quiet. I'm back on campus. Except we're surrounded by undergraduates. There are 3 other buildings of undergraduates, and because it's England, they don't do any work in their third term at all. So it's constant parties out in the window, which is exactly the environment you need when you're working on a dissertation. So so I spend all of my nights in the department, which is, you know, in this nice new building, and it's great. It's kind of like a ghost town after 3 a.m., so then I actually get work done, which is why... In the most boring podcast ever, I was late for the goat, and yeah, should we complain about jobs? We got 1.5 minutes on the clock. Actually, yeah. It's not even worth complaining about. You know, let's just, right. There aren't jobs, we both know this.
Yeah.
They're too hard to come by, and all I'm going to say is that the most depressing thing, and it's happened to me 5 times this week, one was my dream job, so that really hurt, but the other 4... You know, you get a letter and they're like, we're sorry, we'd really like to hire you, but we have no money to hire anyone, so we're going to advertise later. And it really feels like a high school breakup, you know? Oh, it's not you, baby. We want you, baby. We just, we can't have you right now, you know, because we got a paper route. You know, it's just like, all right. That's cool, I guess. Why did you advertise a job for which you could not hire anyone? But just to tease us? So, yeah, that's actually the worst response. I would rather get a letter that says, no, you're horribly underqualified. Don't ever apply to this job again. Because then I'd be like, all right,
All right. Know what to do. At least then you know where you stand, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, blah. But what about you? Complain about stuff. You've got...
Complain about stuff?
I have a few seconds.
How many seconds?
None now.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, let's move on.
Hooray!
No complaining from me. I'll complain about this. No. We're done complaining.
You could complain, I suppose, about the lack of time I left you to complain.
The lack of time you left me to complain about playing too much Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
There we go. Or New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
I haven't tried it. Is it awesome?
It's fun. I beat the whole thing since the last time we podcasted here. I've never beat a Mario game in my life. I don't think I've ever really beaten any video game in my life. I was always the sucky brother of the Clark family when it came to video games. I beat Mega Man 2, which I downloaded through the sort of Wii Virtual Console.
Cool.
Which I'd never beaten before.
I played it over Christmas. That stupid dragon man in the wild.
Oh, that dragon! Use the quick man's boomerang. That's what I discovered.
All right.
With much trial and error. And speaking of trial and error, beating New Super Mario Brothers Wii has taken me. Well, it took me something like 20 continues. It actually saves how many times you've continued.
Just
like
mock you.
It's like it's taken you 20 something time.
It starts rationalizing with you. It's like, dude, you could be living your life. It's 112 continues. Come on.
Exactly. A lot of fun, but you get through the whole thing, and throughout the whole thing, there are these star coins, which are bigger coins than the sort of normal ones you get in Mario, and you're supposed to grab these for some unknown reason. You know, like
they're Japanese. They know.
Yeah, so it's not really clear why you're grabbing them, except that you can trade them in for tips at the First World Castle or something.
That would seem to be a pretty clear reason why you're grabbing them.
Yeah, but no, they're impossible to get at. So at a certain point in playing the game, I gave up. I was like, I don't care. If I happen to stumble across one, I'll get it.
Go to not Starcoin.
Yeah, so you beat the game, and then at the end, Princess Peach or whatever her name is, Toadstool... I've never been clear on that.
I think it alternates periodically.
Yeah, maybe it's Peach Toadstool. Anyway, so she tells you, hey, have I told you about this secret world? And apparently you beat it, and then there's this secret rainbow world, and you go up to it, but you can't play anything. And I'm like, why can't I play anything? Because I didn't collect the star coins. Only at that point do I understand that throughout the entire game, you have to collect all the star coins for every level in every world in order to get to... the corresponding level of the rainbow world.
So it still lets you go to the world even though you can't do anything?
Yeah. Yeah, it just mocks you with these 8 gated levels that you can't get at. So then I go back and I re-beat all of the levels in the first world, and then I can play one of the rainbow levels.
That's craziness.
So now basically I have to go back and beat the game again.
Wow, that's harsh.
Yeah. And considering how long it took me to beat some of those... levels,
yeah,
it's gonna be wow.
I don't know, but, I mean, I was very lucky. The last Mario Brothers game, that's how old I am, the last one I beat straight up was Super Mario 3. And I discovered kind of by accident the first time I ever got to the eighth world about the, you know, whole swimming under the ship thing that
lets
you skip a couple of levels.
Huh.
So I breezed right through it, and we were really lucky in as much as there was a place in Lowell called Landmark Video, which
north.
And, you know, back in the day, that was the place to go rent stuff because they had everything.
They did.
It was a little awkward in as much as the adult section was not separate from the
it was not at
section.
All.
So you'd kind of be looking for stuff and then, okay.
Yeah.
I'm 10. I need to go now. Yeah. But it was the place, and you could order video games through them, too. And, like, when they got theirs, you could get yours. Well, we ordered Super Mario 3, and it came out 6 weeks early.
Gosh.
For some reason. Nobody else had it except me.
Mm.
Which meant I was the coolest kid in third grade. I had finished Super Mario 3 a good month before it came out.
Wow.
Which meant that I get to go over to friends' houses and pretend it was the first time I saw it and be like, I bet if you jump right there, there's probably something secret. Oh, look at that.
I never beat that one. We had it. My landmark, well, I have a couple of them, one of which I will not share for fear of embarrassing someone.
Is this about Benari and his hat? No. I'll explain that after.
No, but mine was just very simple. We ordered Transformers the movie because you couldn't rent it anywhere. I mean, it's so weird to think about that when we were kids.
This is the cartoon.
What's that?
This is the cartoon.
The cartoon, yeah. In 85 or 86 or whenever it came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird to think that when we were kids, you didn't have Netflix. You didn't have Blockbuster. You didn't have any of these places that had a million copies of things. Mm-hmm. So, like, there were a bunch of video stores closer to us in Chelmsford, but Landmark was the only one that we could get it at. And it still took them a while. In fact, we might have ended up finally being able to get on the wait list at the little kiosk at Purity Supreme versus Landmark. But,
and I remember when that first Blockbuster opened in Lowell, it was like, it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And they were giving away tons of free stuff. And they had these little computers with touchscreens. And you could put in your movie, and it would tell you where it was in the store. It was the coolest thing, and they were only...
I remember those.
They broke. But yeah, they were only there for a month. And like, for the next 10 years, whenever I went to Blockbuster, and I couldn't find something, my first thought was, oh, I'll check the thing 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, and now, of course, there is no Blockbuster. But
I know, it's weird. Well, they still have some brick-and-mortar stores, but it seems like they're only there so people can go and exchange their DVDs from the online thing.
Yeah, it's sad, but, you know, I guess Netflix is good. I don't know, I don't have it. So.
I don't have it, but I kind of want it because I like the online streaming thing.
I love the idea, and I can apparently now I can stream through my Wii.
Yeah. That's cool. Wow. There's a fairly obvious double entendre that I'm just going to sidestep.
I did not catch at all until halfway through, no, three quarters of the way from saying it when it was too late to take it back.
I think you're going to have to modify that with I'll stream the video through or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. So auto-tuned wolves, huh? We should just play that during the podcast whenever things have gone completely wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
Insert auto-tuned wolves. Thunk.
Thunk. 1 minute of auto-tuning wolves.
Yeah, it's a timeout for the podcast.
Yeah. Sort of transition. Here's the time for your potty break. You know,
that's right.
Speaking of streaming through your Wii.
Anyway. Let's talk about something that actually has to do with, well, I don't know, what we're supposed to talk about. So we're what now? We're less than a month away from Geek Force 5 returning, is that right?
Theoretically, yeah. I'm working with Leah Creates from leahcreates.com. Mm-hmm. She's working on the design of the site. My old friend Eric Paul, Robo Yuji on Twitter, did some illustrations for it. And I have a pretty clear idea of content-wise where it's gonna go. So it's coming along. Until we sort of have the design in place, I won't be able to do too much more. I'm gonna upgrade the back end to Expression Engine 2.0.
Uh-huh.
Play around with that a little bit. That requires some money, which is coming from another project that I worked on. So I have a bunch of sort of balls in the air, plate spinning, cliche.
Right.
spinning.
On the pots on the burner.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
I like that. A lot of irons in the fire.
Yep. That's a good one. So, I mean, basically, I'm going for sort of a more magazine style for the site so that I can highlight the things that are getting the most traction a little bit easier, because one of the things this guy Brendan, who went to not the Brendan you're immediately thinking of, not the one that we went to Hubba Hubba with once upon a time, but a different one.
Oh, I was thinking of Brendan Fraser.
Okay. Well, he didn't go to our high school, but you know, he did make a movie with someone from our high school.
At Landmark Video.
Yeah.
Which is why I came to mind. This was, for those of you who actually listened to this podcast, 4 minutes ago I asked Chris if it was Benari in his hat. Benari was the annoying 12-year-old kid in School Ties.
Right, for 30 seconds.
And he was also never the kid shut up about it for the rest of time.
He was also a kid that got shot in the head or something in an HBO made-for-TV special.
That about almost made up for the violence. Talking about that. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, it'll be a more magazine-style layout. A couple things will get discontinued. I'm going to finish up and get to episode 300 of the Geek Force podcast and then sort of close that down. Because I have a great idea for a video podcast, which I took to New Hampshire Media Makers last weekend or the weekend before.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept was five-minute critic. And I was going to, you know, sort of combine the fact that I like to talk about weird story-based things and sort of overthink and overanalyze things that shouldn't be overthought and overanalyzed, which is both tying into my writer side and my geeky side. So I pitched this, and John Herman from johnherman.org says to me, he's like, you know what I want to see? I want to see 5 Second Critic. Oh. And I was like, oh, I like this. And all of a sudden started coming up with all of these ideas, which would basically be sort of a title card saying what the person was reacting to, and then 5 seconds of them just sort of giving the gut reaction.
Interesting.
So, you know, there's a couple that I have ready to go. So anyway, Geek Force 5, yeah, about a month away.
Cool. That's exciting.
And it was supposed to coincide with PodCamp New Hampshire, but PodCamp's been moved. And so I had this grand sort of ridiculous idea of doing something at PodCamp that tied in Geek Force and Generation Goat and Pants and all sorts of auto-tuned wolves. But yeah, now that'll all have to wait until October.
What would that idea be? Do you want to spoil any of it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, perhaps a live Generation Goat.
Yeah.
That could be part of it.
Because people totally want to see that.
People totally want to see Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier sit on stage. You know?
Yeah, but they're funny.
Sometimes. Yeah, no. But they get up and they talk about Fleshlights for half the show. So
that's true. That is getting a little weird. Well... I suppose it could work. It does afford me the opportunity to make some slides of past misadventures and just project them behind us.
So it will have to be both an audio podcast and a video podcast, which of course we've talked about in the past is sort of a video.
That would be cool.
Yes, do a... because the typical podcast session is... PodCamp session is 45 minutes or so.
Yeah.
People have last year we had the guys from Nomex 3 come and eat at the cafeteria of the school where we were having the event and then film their podcast, so that was separate from a session. But so we could either do a session or we could
How not to podcast. Welcome to Live. Today we'll be showing you some common mistakes that you might be making in your own podcast.
And then just do a podcast the way we would normally do
it. Just do it normal. So we hope that was, you know, instructive. If you have any questions, obviously don't ask us.
So yeah, I mean, we'll do something. It'll be, hopefully, it'll be October, towards the end of October.
Cool.
Somewhere in New Hampshire. It'll be fun.
Well, I'll actually be back in America by that point. Probably kind of permanently. I mean, unless magically somebody over here shows up and says, hey, do you want a job?
Yeah.
Then I expect that I'll be back, probably having not finished my PhD, so I'll just be a miserable, grumpy person all the time.
No. We don't want you miserable and grumpy.
I think it would make the podcast much more interesting.
Yeah, I guess the ones where you're miserable and grumpy are, well, I don't know. Have we done any where you weren't miserable and grumpy?
No.
Because you've been working on the dissertation entire time.
I've been full of hatred and, dark side. No, it's cool that you found so many people to work on your website. I'm kind of jealous because there are definitely redesign things that I would like to do, but I lack the time and resources. So that's quite good. I'm quite
well. It's the first time I've ever collaborated with someone on a design, because I wanted to sort of get it out of my hands and see if someone would come up with something different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always end up gravitating towards the same stuff. I mean, the closest I've come to doing anything original was the eChristopherClark.com site that's up right now, which is kind of maybe a little too heavily inspired by DaringFireball.net. So even when I'm being original, I'm ripping people off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with some things, obviously I try to keep it simple. It's, you know, it's kind of a one a day, you know, format. So much like Geek Force 5 used to be, you know, left column content goes down, you know, that's pretty straightforward. I do wish sometimes that I could kind of pull something out and highlight it. So I have kind of thought about, you know, making sidebars or other ways to kind of keep key articles from disappearing as quickly as they do. Because some things become weirdly popular. And I don't know why.
It's hard to predict.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, probably a quarter of the traffic I got last month was for one article. Because apparently people just can't get enough of the Pomplamoose. So... That was a little weird because I kept writing new content and then I'd look at my stats for the day. Like, new content, you know, 10 hits. Pomplamoose, 110 hits.
Yeah.
What is that? Come on.
They're pretty popular.
No.
Yeah.
But,
there are definitely things like that. And that's, I think, at least part of what I'll do on the back end of Geek Force is just code that populates based on number of comments or number of hits.
Cool.
It's that way I don't have to sort of guess at what people are finding popular. But there'll be some things that I'll sticky up there, figuring that they'll generate more comments.
As far as the back end goes for me, I mean, WordPress 3 should be out next month, and I'm quite excited about it. In as much as one of the really cool things they've done is they've merged the WordPress MU, the multi-user. With the regular WordPress. So the nice thing about that is I can create as many kind of sub-blogs as I want from the single interface. So something like Generation Goat, for example, could actually have a proper, you know, blog of its own.
Exactly.
Which would be quite easy to maintain. Which, you know, considering that we've kind of talked about actually using this goat more often, would be a nice thing to do.
That's one of those things... I've worked in WordPress a little bit now for my job, and I was really stunned at how difficult it was to get sort of multiple content areas. In Expression Engine, they've been called blogs. Now they're called channels. De-emphasize that it's a blogging platform and re-emphasize that it's content management. And I'm like, whatever. But basically, channel is kind of a better word. And I did some real finagling with like two or three different plugins to get our news blog to appear separate from our blog.
All right.
So we sort of wanted all the news releases over in one section and all of the blog stuff over in another section, and it just was nuts. So then when I saw, I think you sent me the video, or I saw you post the video that they were integrating MU into WordPress 3, it's like that's going to win a lot of it's going to win a lot of people who are sort of on the fence about things like Expression Engine, because it's free. I mean, you know, I'm not an expert in Expression Engine, but if I wasn't so entrenched, I would certainly sort of look more carefully at WordPress when it comes to...
Now, I've been pretty happy with it. You know, there are a couple of things that still bug the hell out of me, which seem to be fixed, actually, in WordPress 3. One of them is image placement with respect to text wrapping around images. it tends to get really messy and create weird buffer spacing, and it just doesn't look clean like a magazine or a newspaper would.
Yeah,
and it seems to have fixed itself, which is nice, because I'm sick of going in and modifying the code image by image, which is why it's actually the reason that in there's just a big picture at the top, yeah, and then there's content below it, because I get sick of trying to wrap it around in an attractive way.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you've noticed, GeekForce does that a lot too, because I'm basically, Expression Engine does have some plugins where you can get a WYSIWYG editor, but mm-hmm. it's basically hard coding. And if you want to throw a picture in there, you gotta code it. And I don't mind, but yeah, usually I'll just throw a picture in that takes up the whole width of the column.
I think, oddly enough, actually, when WordPress 3 comes out, I'm going to switch to the default theme. The new 2010 theme is actually really attractive, and it does many, many nice things. And one of them is, you know, what you see is what you actually get for a change, which is nice. Because they bill the current WordPress editor as what you see is what you get, but
right,
not really. So, hooray. What were we going to talk about?
What's that?
Something cool actually happened. In as much as I felt my website was almost legit. I guess it was about a week, 2 weeks ago now. The fine people over at Yearbird Records sent me an email. I've mentioned some of their artists before, and I bought a couple of things, and they sent me an email as if I were a real news blogger. You know, it was like, here's a press release for Ghosts I've Met and their EP, Paper and Patience, and here's some pictures, here's some info, you can download the whole EP right here for free. Go ahead, do what you like. Wow. And I was like, oh my god, I am cool. And just yesterday, a random artist wrote to me and said, you know, hey, we've got our album, you can have it for free. Mm. Some stuff about our band, you know, we think it might fit on your website, whatever. Like, wow, I'm almost legit. Is this what happens when you almost make it? People start doing stuff?
Well, I think it is. I mean, my friend Brian White, who runs Cinema Suicide, mm-hmm. Gets, as far as I know, gets sort of review copies of things a lot. And that, I think, I've always sort of wanted to get that, but then I have gotten a few from this one circle of New York-based filmmakers keep sending me review copies of their films. And crazy. I've just been in a position where I've been working two or three jobs and not had the chance to get at them. Hmm. So hopefully my life, my world will turn around a little bit here. I've been focusing on getting down to sort of one or two major things versus like two or three or four. I'll get to finally finally review some things, but we'll see.
Well, you know what would cheer you up?
What?
Auto-tuned wolves.
I think so. I think you're right about that.
I'm actually just going to record it as a sound clip on my iPod, so when we're out and about, if things aren't working well when we're in the car, I'll just crank it up.
Very nice.
Yeah. So this is a part of the podcast where we run out of stuff to talk about.
Well, yes and no. There was one, you said something and it made me think of something I wanted to ask you or say, and I can't remember what the heck it was.
We could talk about Pac-Man instead.
We could talk about Pac-Man. I mean, listener, we do have a cheat sheet sort of sitting here of things that we meant to talk about.
Oh, way to go.
Give away the magic.
Wolves is giving away the secrets.
I know. Well, see, that'll be part of our session at PodCamp, how not to do a podcast. You know, honestly, I think we should submit that session right now, how not to do a podcast, because
that's right.
People will love it. I mean, people will come in and they'll get the self-deprecating humor, and they'll be like, oh, wait, it's not just self-deprecating humor. This really is terrible.
No, people, we're just laying it down for you, all right? First of all, have no clear plan of action. Let's call this the George W. Bush invades Iraq strategy of podcasting.
You know, I like listening to our podcast. I'll just go out and say it. One of the, we will get to Pac-Man in a second.
Sure. What the hell?
I've been listening to a couple of different podcasts by friends. Okay. And actually, I'm finding that listening to podcasts by people that I know is a lot more enjoyable than listening to podcasts by sort of random celebrities or pseudo web celebrities. Mm-hmm. But I digress. And I digress a lot.
Sorry, totally random.
Viewers too. Can't see this. Listener, I'm one of the things that comes along with a new baby when they send you home with one is this bulb-shaped syringe to suck the boogers out.
Is that what those are for?
That's how those work, yeah. You stick it up the baby's nose, preferably not when she's already pissed off about shots, we've discovered. You sort of like, here, you got this?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to stop playing with that. And
why do you have that at your desk?
It's not at my desk. I'm at the dining room table. And then
well, that makes much more sense.
Well, because the dining room table is right next to the play yard, bassinet-y kind of thing where we lay her down when we're downstairs.
Sure.
So, yeah. I've been listening to podcasts by friends. And... the two that I've been listening to the most are, oh gosh.
Ha! Liar!
The Double Meat Podcast. Double Meat Podcast is my friend Zeke from college and a friend of his, Sasha, who lives out in Oakland, sort of doing this bi-coastal thing. And it's, they talk about the fact that is always a funny fat guy in every crew of like three or more podcasters, and what would happen if you took two funny fat guys and put them together and they were the hosts.
Yeah, it's Generation Go. Moving on.
They talk about everything from, they've had a surprising number of BBW porn stars. I think that means, although I haven't actually looked it up, big beautiful women. There you go.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so they also had some sort of atheist, cynic kind of people on. It's interesting, but they always start off with sort of a predefined topic and kind of stick to it. And the other one that I've been listening to a lot is, why can't I remember this?
Do you want me to go open the email?
Woodbury's podcast. This guy, Steve Woodbury, who we went to school with.
Look it up for you.
What the hell is it called?
Ladies and gentlemen, Auto-Tuned Wolves.
Damn it. Simulated Itch Relief.
There you go.
Okay, so in terms of bringing structure to their podcast, not only do they start off with a topic, they do digress more than the guys from Double Meat do, but they have a timer. An actual, I always call it an egg timer, but I've since been told it's not an egg timer. That's not what you call it. It's sort of like plastic timer that we would put by the stove in those days before all stoves came with timers built in. So they actually have a timer that you can hear go off when they get to like 45 minutes or they get to 50 minutes or whatever, because they want it to be an hour every time.
Okay.
And so I bring these two things up because I like these two podcasts, but they're very structured in a way that ours is not structured.
It's true. Ours is definitely not structured.
For better or worse, you know, except for now we've got Auto-Tuned Wolves.
Auto-Tuned Wolves, everybody.
See, we were talking beforehand about making it easier, the post-production, and this is just going to make it that much more interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, that's part of the plan that we did not have.
So now, okay, I think we've pretty much, well, Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Now, just pointing out that, you know, it's still there right now. So if you go back in time to, what are we on now, May 22nd.
Yep.
You may listen to, you know, you may go to the Google site, you may play Pac-Man, the new Google, I guess they call their logos doodles.
They do.
The new doodle is a playable Pac-Man game.
Oh, that they designed from scratch. although they did emulate all the characteristics of
the sounds are right, the movement is right.
Yeah,
it's awesome. And here's a helpful tip, which I'm telling you, it's only useful to you.
Right.
But if you insert two coins, they took away the I'm feeling lucky button and it says insert coin.
Yep.
If you put two in, you can play with Ms. Pac-Man also. It becomes a
I heard that, but I had no idea how to make it happen.
You use WASD to move, Ms. Pac-Man and the arrow keys to move.
That is
regular Pac-Man.
See, I can't believe that. I can believe they're going to take it down. This is the only doodle that they're only keeping up for 48 hours.
I know. I wonder if an Empire Strikes Back one will replace it.
That's a good point. Because we did realize through Twitter, and we should have realized this as true geeks, that Pac-Man came out and the next day, or no, sorry, Empire Strikes Back came out and the next day Pac-Man came out.
My whole week would have been blown. That would have been it. I mean, oh my god.
I mean, so, like, you're one and I'm three at that point, or not even three.
Yeah.
I'm like two and a half.
Yeah. But if I were old enough, forget it. That would have been it. That would have been all I did.
Ugh, man.
I would have.
Yeah, but what about the timing there? I mean, you would think you'd get Pac-Man out into the sort of arcade outside the cinema, mm-hmm. like, before Empire comes out.
You'd be lined up around the block for that. It'd be crazy. You'd go from one incredibly long line from the jerk with all the quarters in front,
right,
to another incredibly long line for Empire. That's all you would do for a week, but it'd be awesome. At the end of the week, oh my god. I actually always was a little bit more of a Ms. Pac-Man person. I just, I don't know why.
What the heck was I reading? I don't know if it was a CNET article or what. So yesterday, for work, I was writing an article on Google Doodles, because for our blog on Fridays, we do something fun.
Uh-huh.
And I was researching the Ms. Pac-Man, or sorry, the Google Pac-Man logo a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was talking about how Pac-Man, once you master the pattern,
mm-hmm.
you are golden. I mean, that's how you can sort of beat Pac-Man. And there's only one way to beat Pac-Man, right? There's only one perfect score. But with Ms. Pac-Man, there's actually six or seven different ways that you beat Ms. Pac-Man. And so each of them will provide you with a different final score. And Ms. Pac-Man is, it was a very interesting article. It was talking about the differences between people who mastered Pac-Man versus mastered Ms. Pac-Man. And I wish I could remember where I found that.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, that is kind of interesting. Speaking of mastering Pac-Man, oddly enough, Google folks built a kill screen into the doodle. So if you if you do manage to play to that 256th level, there's a kill screen. So that's, I'm sure most of our listener know that the kill screen is basically what happened. There wasn't enough memory for the game to kind of store. Basically, it comes down to the score integer, I think. But when you reached a certain point, the game just ran out of buffer. And it was kind of like a half level. So what would happen is you would play for a few seconds. It would reach that point, and it would just start using garbage data to fill. And so your little pack guy would kind of go crazy and blink. The screen would go insane. I think the difference was, though, that on Pac-Man, unlike Donkey Kong, you could play the kill screen to its end. I mean, you get basically half of your monitor would be garbage.
Mm.
And the other half would be a maze that you could recognize.
Right.
You could play on the kill screen, whereas in Donkey Kong, Mario just dies.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he just dies wherever he's standing at the time. I always thought that was kind of crazy, but...
Which reminds me that I still haven't seen The King of Kong.
You've got to see it. It's crazy.
We've now gone up to Fun Spot at least three times since you first told me that I needed to see it, and I haven't yet.
Watch the damn movie, Clark.
See, that's what Netflix would be good for, because I'm sure if I couldn't get it on
auto-tuned wolves? Sorry. Anytime you say auto, auto-tuned wolves.
Okay, so now that we've completely...
We can have the donger from 16 Candles. Auto-tuned wolves. It would just be fantastic. That was my terrible impression. Oh, the ungodly hour of 12:50 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Okay, so before we started recording, we talked about, or even days before this, we talked about whether or not we could somehow slim down the post-production time so that we could get this episode out before the Lost series finale, which is tomorrow night as we record this.
Anywho.
So now decision to make is, do we talk about spoilers or predictions, which will either make us sound very silly, or do we just pretend that we've seen the episode and...
Well, hang on.
I've kind of spoiled that idea, though.
Let me just write a little chart here, okay?
All right.
There are some times to know when to hold them,
right?
And then there's folding them.
Yep.
Something about something, and then walking away. All right. Well, none of these options are talk about Lost.
No.
Let's do it anyway. No, let's do it. I'm going to lay it out there because I'm going to be wrong anyway. And
okay.
At least this way I can not be wrong by myself. So, are we going to talk about anything but Lost from here on out?
Well, I was looking. I'm like, we talked about Baby. We had our 5-minute bitch session. We talked about Force 5. Talked about you getting free stuff. You wanted to talk about Last FM?
I did? Oh, yeah, it's kind of...
That was the only other thing that we didn't cover.
No, I just, it was kind of an unimportant point, but I realized last night that it was the first night that I'd gotten any dissertation done in ages, and it was entirely due to Last FM.
Huh.
And it was, it was going along fine. I was using the multi-tag radio, and I felt like... I went to a really great piano recital this week. There's a sentence I don't use very often. It was a piano concert, great program, Schumann and Chopin. I used to play classical music, listeners at home, so it's not so random. I used to play violin, and so I went to this concert, and then so last night I'm like, oh, what should I listen to? So I thought, all right, I'll use the multi-tag radio and throw in my favorite instrument in the entire world is the cello, not the auto-tuned wolf, actually the cello. I know, and I'm a violinist. I feel like a traitor. But so I'm going along. I'm fine. And then I thought, all right, I'm gonna load up the chamber music. Now I could actually look this up because I don't remember what the second artist was called. But the first thing it gave me, literally the first thing it gave me under chamber music, was by the Wu-Tang Clan. Now I think the song was called Fourth Chamber. Now. Okay, I'll give it to you. Yeah, that's chamber music, but what?
Sure.
And so I said, okay, I'm gonna skip that one. Get back to Vivaldi or something. And then it gave me an artist called Del the Funky Homo Sapien, who had another song. Maybe it was like Enter the Chamber or something.
Right.
So. Well done, Last FM. Well done.
I'm going over to your Last FM and I'm checking it out.
I'm not sure if it's scrabbled because I
skipped
it pretty quickly. But it might. The Wu-Tang might actually be there. So,
okay.
But it really did happen.
Cogwheel Dogs.
What's up?
Apparently, at some point, you got to play. You got to play a Cogwheel Dogs Power in Paper.
Oh. Yeah, I don't even remember that.
That was the only other weird band name that sort of struck out.
Oh, yeah, so I did. Weird. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, there we are.
There we are. Last FM.
Yeah. So that was...
Moving on to Lost FM. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha. But, no, what I will say, actually, though, about Last FM, because I am making fun, is that I still love it.
I do. I love it, too.
Years now, and I just... It's still the best for me.
And yeah, I mean, I like
Pandora, but...
I like Pandora, but the only way I'll listen to Pandora, because I'm sort of obsessed with scrabbling, is Last Pandora. It used to be Pandora FM,
uh-huh.
Was one that I liked, but they stopped developing that, I guess, and now it's kind of buggy. So I found a new one, which I think is called Last Pandora.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I like my Pandora with Navi, and that's just how it is. But actually, one of the kind of odd things is that Pandora doesn't work in the UK. So,
oh, weird.
Yeah, it's blocked like Hulu,
Or like Spotify over here.
Yeah, and you know, Spotify is actually, I'm not a big fan, to be honest, because it makes you, the only way to use it as a free user is through a client app, and it's buggy, and it uses a lot of memory,
okay,
and it gives you ads on
you
your
would think stuff. That it's the second coming based on the hype over here, and
maybe
I think that's entirely,
awesome.
What's that?
Maybe the free version is awesome, I don't know.
It has to be part of the marketing strategy that because Americans want what they can't have.
Maybe.
I mean, I suppose human beings want what they can't have, but Americans really want what they can't have, that they're just going to continue to push it back and push it back until the hype is so big that it can take a sizable chunk out of the iTunes marketplace. But I think Google is poised to do a little bit of that themselves by having bought up... Media. They bought up yesterday, or they announced that they bought it, which was this great service for iTunes users to stream their entire libraries from their home computer to other phones or other computers.
That is quite cool.
And so it was kind of buggy when I used it, so I stopped using it. But and you could theoretically share it with other people who had. Simplify. So they bought that. Apple bought Lala, and they're both sort of going towards this cloud-based something. It'll be interesting to see what happens if they get it out in time before Spotify arrives. And...
Yeah, interesting. Now, last night I found another website through my library, oddly enough, through the music section of my university library, and I like my Last.fm, but it's called Songza. Songza.org, and one of the interesting things that it does, I mean, you can make playlists and you can search for songs and you can play the songs much like a Groove Shark kind of thing, is that when you play the song, if there's a YouTube video, it also provides you the music video and some other miscellaneous stuff at the same time, which is kind of cool. And it's got like radio features and stuff too, and you know, professional playlists and stuff. So that was kind of an interesting thing. I liked that it was including, you know, a multimedia kind of aspect with the video, because sometimes you just want to see the video too, and that was kind of nice. And it's also free, so
cool.
So there you go. But
nifty.
All right. So we've established that both Autotune Wolves and the Wu-Tang Clan name. Time to move on to Lost. All right, we're actually just coming up to the 1 hour mark. So.
Yeah, so we'll talk Lost. We'll wrap it up
at the 2 hour mark, and then good to go. All right, man. So here it is.
All right,
Lost is ending tomorrow.
Yep.
And you know, what do we know? We know that Jack is the new Jacob.
True.
Or at least, okay. See, this is the thing. This is where I get us off the rails right away. I don't think that's gonna last.
Oh, yeah?
Because I still think Desmond is the new Jacob.
That's interesting. What if...
I think Jack is going to die. I think he's going to try to be Jacob, and he's going to die, and Desmond is going to end up stepping in.
What if Desmond is the new smoke monster? And
yeah, that's possible.
Jack is
too.
The new... I mean, except instead of having an antagonistic relationship, they have sort of see you in another life brother relationship. Like, they're kind of, hanging out.
I don't know, because you would imagine that the island needs both,
right?
You know, that there has to be a kind of yin and yang.
Yeah.
So
I'm very curious to see where Desmond ends up, and is he not in the well? Right, we sort of have established that.
Yeah, he's out. They saw him out. So yeah, I mean, you know, of course, all of this assumes that. Smokelock is not actually going to, you know, be there. You know,
right,
they're
true.
Actually going to defeat him somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the island is sunk in the Sideways world.
Right.
And
how does it get sunk? And what's the relationship between the Sideways world and the real world that we've followed for 6 years.
See, that's the thing. And we're kind of all over the place, but... Okay, so you can get injured in the sideways world enough that you see flashes,
right,
of your life in the island world.
Yeah.
Which is a little strange. I know that there are kind of theories of these quantum filaments where kind of atoms across multiple dimensions can be tied together in kind of an invisible way.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the writers may have kind of taken that idea and said, okay, well, let's make it so that whatever they did with all the electromagnetism in the island world has somehow now tied all of their selves together, or at least its other self together in the sideways world. And so now they can kind of see each other. And apparently, I mean, it looks like it's building towards a, all right, now we're going to take them out of the sideways world back to the other world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reason I think that there can be back and forth actually is Juliet.
Okay.
Because I think when Juliet said it worked, it was because she had actually sustained so much of an injury that she saw the sideways world.
Right.
And said, okay, it worked. You know?
World. She's the only one that we've seen since the introduction of the sideways world who's had an injury that much that we've actually been able to see her dying moments, because Saeed blows up,
right?
And Sun and Jin, we just see their hands sort of...
Oh, that was such a letdown, man.
Yeah. It was.
Do you think they died because the writers were like, wait, which one is it?
I think it's Ji Yan, maybe. Yeah. You know, it's possible.
Well, I saw one of the fake endings to Lost that was floating around the internet, which had Jiyeon and Aaron in a hatch. You know, they had come to the island later in life to keep an eye on stuff.
Yeah.
And thank God it was a fake ending. That's all I'll say. But yeah, I mean, it does make you wonder. Like, this is okay. Jacob has always been Jacob. So this is the first time that anybody's bothered to replace Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
But will the island just keep, you know, keep on going? Is this it? Is the island going to end? You know, will Jack bring people to the island? Will he get bored? You know?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a little weird.
Because Jack has had a life outside of the island. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Jacob never had a life outside of the island.
Where did Jacob go? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, this disappeared.
So what did you make of Across the Sea, anyway?
I dug it. I understand.
Some people really hated it, apparently.
Yeah, lots of people really hated it. I mean, just decided that it was the point at which the show completely failed for them. But I don't know. I mean, I think my perspective on the whole show is colored by the fact that I didn't come into it until halfway through season three.
Uh-huh.
And so that I experienced a huge chunk of the story all at once over the course of a couple of days when I was really sick, just watching the DVDs and then catching up via iTunes and abc.com for the rest of it. So, I mean, I've always been interested in sort of the bigger picture as well as the characters.
Yeah.
But the characters even less so. And that's why I think for me, the final episode will be interesting. Will it be as satisfying as certain episodes that preceded it? I'm not sure. I think it'll be really good because the characters that I really care about, Desmond, Jack, I care about Jack when Jack is sort of with other characters and Jack's relationship with other characters.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we'll see Juliet again.
I think we have to. I mean,
yeah. Because the other thing about going back to what you were talking about when we saw her injured, she has that comment about we'll get coffee, we should go Dutch.
Yeah.
I feel like that might have been another sideways world connection.
Yeah,
which is my roundabout way of saying I really liked Across the Sea because I'm a mythology guy. I liked
it too. I mean, I thought it was great, and it's hard to imagine what they died for without it.
Yeah. And some people were like, because Carlton and Damon had been bringing up, making this comparison to the midichlorians from Star Wars. They've been sort of publicly making this comparison to like, listen, we're going to answer questions that are important, but we're not going to over-answer them. Because look what happened when Star Wars decided to over-answer what the Force was.
Yeah, it's the stupidest thing in the world.
Yeah. And so, but part of what I've heard is some people actually complaining that they did over-answer, and then other people complaining that they didn't answer enough.
I mean, the thing about the midichlorians isn't so much the over-answering, it's that it changes midstream something that we understood. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Obi-Wan says it's a force which, you know, it's an energy which binds all living things together.
Yeah.
Done. We don't need any more than that.
Right.
You know, it works. Move
it's,
on.
There's a light at the bottom of the island, and we don't need any more than that. Yeah, everyone's got a little bit of it in them. Is it knowledge? Is it love? Is it whatever?
Yeah. I mean, whatever, you know. I mean, fine. Leave it. Good. Done. You know, I mean, there are some things that I definitely want them to answer. I have my own private list, obviously. Like, you know, the numbers. Yeah, it'd be really nice to go beyond, oh yeah, they were on the lighthouse wheel. You know, I mean, can we do a little more with them? Because, of course, you know, I mean, in the alternate reality game that we were playing, of course, there's the whole Valenzetti equation. There's all that stuff that the Dharma folk wanted. The whole... You know, each number corresponds to an answer in a formula about when the world will end. And if
here's the thing. Before you move on, it's related to that. Was my understanding from reading up on it, although I can't remember if it actually came up in the episode, that Hurley won with a slightly different combination of numbers.
I saw that.
And was that in the episode?
I don't remember, but yeah.
And I mean, so it would be interesting.
Come up a lot. They don't come up very often in the Sideways world either.
So. Yeah. What would be interesting is if the if it was just one number off, because wasn't that the whole Valenzetti thing? They were trying to find a way to
just change one number,
so
that the world would end at a different time.
Yeah. And so if that was the case, if it's just one number off, then that is kind of paying. It's probably still not paying enough attention to the numbers. For most people's taste. Anyway,
curiously enough, actually, that whole equation is actually based on a real thing. There were things carried out in the '50s the first time, I think, and since, where, you know, people tried to figure out, okay, you know, let's mathematically model when the world would end given current conditions,
right?
You know, how long humanity has, and you do see these forecasts every now and again. It's less time than you might think. Less time, I mean, certainly more time than the rare endangered auto-tuned wolf, but...
Yeah.
So the numbers are, yeah.
Yeah. What are some of the other things that you're hoping? What's your private list?
Well, I do want to see Juliet again. You know, that's just something I want to see. But, I mean, so there's the numbers. I really want to know what the deal is with Aaron. You know, I know that Walt underwent puberty, but I'd like to have some sort of resolution to the Walt story.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, we saw Michael and the Whispers, you know, made person. But we don't really know if that's true. You know, we don't know if that's a trick of the smoke monster, because it really did work out for the smoke monster.
Right.
Or, you know, so I'd like more about the Whispers. I don't know if you've ever been bored enough to look at any of the stuff where people... have analyzed the audio of the Whispers.
I've heard it, but I haven't looked.
A lot of the times, it's people commenting on the scene in like a, you know, oh, she doesn't know about the, well, when is she gonna, oh, this is the part where she, you know, like, now that could just be funny, but I doubt it. Because they told people early on when the show was running, you know, those Whispers are full of useful things. So... And there's, you know, there's French Whispers and there's regular Whispers. And so I'd like to get a little bit more about the Whispers. I mean, they're not going to get to everything, and that's fine. But, you know, it'd be nice to see a little bit more. You know, for me, I always wish that we got more about Dharma, just in general.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to know who made the airdrops of food, but I would have liked to have known a little bit more about what they actually achieved on the island.
Yeah. Well, see, one thing that I would love to see that I am 99.9% sure we are not going to see, I would be satisfied if they explained it to us, is in the Sideways world, when the island sank, which I'm guessing took place in 77.
Sure.
When the bomb blew up, that the bomb had something to do with the in the Sideways world, because we know that they, or I feel like we've had acknowledgement that Ben and his dad were on the island at some point in their lives,
right?
In the Sideways world,
yeah, they did say that they wish they had never gone there. So
yeah, so what I would love to know is sort of what those last moments were like. Right? Because if we're going to bring everyone together at this concert at the museum, which seems like it's going to happen,
right,
you're going to have Charlotte, who was there as a baby, Miles, who was there as a baby, and Ben, who was there as a kid, including some of their parents, including Chang.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be there. There could be an opportunity for like a 30-second explanation of what it was like the last day that the
yeah.
sort of island was going down.
And I would love to know. Is the really kind of important thing?
Yeah, because the sub came back and dropped off Juliet and Sawyer and Kate, but then it was supposed to go right back out to sea. Were there helicopters? I mean, how did they get off? Yeah,
and I mean, yeah, the sub wasn't going to fit everybody. So how many people got left there?
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things, and I mean, that's the really sad part of knowing that you've got, well, 2.5 hours, so what is that really in TV terms, you know?
Yeah,
an hour.
It might be an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's lost. And then, of course, you know, they're not going to talk to us for months.
Although, on the Jimmy Kimmel show last night, apparently they said, you know, we're attention whores. We'll be back sooner than you would imagine. And they also said that some of the answers that we want that we don't get in the finale will be revealed in a fun way on the DVD set. That's sort of, I'm not sure what that fun way will consist of, but, you know.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
I know that they were talking in the last audio podcast about how, I think it was Across the Sea, where they, in the commentary, they did quite a lot of reveal, which is nice.
And that may be when I finally... See, I'm undecided as to what to do about buying DVDs, Blu-rays, all these things, because, you know, everything continues to get upgraded and what have you. Since season 3, I've been buying it on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
So that's sort of where all of my episodes exist. But I think somewhere down the line, if they issued a nice box set, I would get it, especially if it had all this extra stuff. But you're sort of undecided because I haven't moved to Blu-ray. I kind of don't anticipate moving to Blu-ray.
Right.
I know that like 4K or whatever it's called, super high def, whatever they finally call it, will come out within a couple of years, and then super, super high def. And
sure.
God only knows. I mean, the show is shot in 720p, so it's only ever going to look as good as 720p.
Well, that's kind of the thing, yeah. I mean, some things are just not worth buying because they weren't created at a certain resolution, you know, to make it worthwhile. And it's like the people who rushed out to buy the Blu-ray copy of the original Superman movie, for instance, you know, like, well, yes, it's on a nice medium and it probably has a lot of extras, but it's only ever going to look like that VHS tape you had back in the day.
I mean, it might look a little bit better. They might have cleaned up some stuff, but...
But yeah, I mean, you know, unless they're George Lucas and they decide to reshoot the whole thing in, you know, computer land. Oh, George. I had a dream the other night that George Lucas was the guy who made Lost, and it was not pretty. I think it must have been a midichlorian discussion.
Oh, no.
Anyway. Yeah. You know, I wonder, though, do you think Damon and Carlton will do another show together?
I had heard that they were somehow involved with turning the Dark Tower series by Stephen King into something. But I don't know how soon that would happen, and I don't know if it's still on the plate.
Hmm.
Which would be interesting. I would love to see a King series translated into... not a very long running, but a longer running than a miniseries kind of I think it would be interesting. I'm not sure that the Dark Tower would be my choice. I would love to have seen sort of a two or three season The Stand series or something.
I mean, I have the movies that we, you know, the four episode.
Which is pretty good. I mean, maybe that's all you need. It's been a while since I...
I mean, they're pretty good. That was always one of those things, too, though, where I felt like, well, you could do an awful lot more with this world if somebody wanted to. But I don't know. I'm starting to, you know, feel that summer blah feeling of, oh, no, where's all the TV going?
I mean, theoretically, we're supposed to have movies to replace all the TV, but there's not that much. I saw Iron Man 2.
Shrek movie's out this week, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. But aside from those two, well, and I wanted to see Kick-Ass, but that's long since gone.
I saw Iron Man 2 not too long ago.
I saw that, which was fun.
What'd you think?
It was fun. It was great. And I love the way that they're subtly setting up the Avengers with...
Yes, quite subtle.
Yeah. did stick around after the credits and saw Thor's hammer. And
nice.
It was pretty cool.
Thor is so problematic, though, I think, as a...
It's the big problem of the Avengers. How do you bring in Thor? I mean, Iron Man, Captain America, easy.
Yeah.
Black Widow, they've shown you can bring in Black Widow.
Well done.
Hawkeye.
But Thor, you know. Oh, yeah, and this guy here, he's a Norse god.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it doesn't invalidate your worldview or faith. It's a...
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about it before, but the ultimate universe version of the Avengers is the only way to do it, which is you kind of don't know if Thor is just crazy.
Yeah, well, he does wear that hat.
Yeah,
so let's be honest.
Yeah,
but I don't know. The only TV thing I saw that made me sort of interested coming up was the new Spielberg Terra Nova thing. Which I don't know if you've seen much about this.
No.
It's kind of like his Earth 2 show, in as much as like it focuses on a group of people who have left for the first kind of off-Earth colony on this kind of lush green world, which apparently everybody seems to think is Pandora. But never mind. it's kind of a sci-fi rebuilding show, except, of course, you know, people have secrets and their secret agendas, and I think there may be dinosaurs. So, but apparently it's going to cost $4 million an episode, and it's going to be on Fox. Because it's going to cost so much, apparently they're going to start at mid-season like they do with 24, and they're just going to shoot at once instead of, like, shooting a pilot and then, you know, kind of picking it up later.
Wow.
But, you know, I actually am one of the few people, I guess, there were like three of us that really liked Earth 2 back in the day. It only ran for the one season.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it did have Tim Curry doing a weird accent at times. But, you know, parallels with the Congo aside. that's such a bad movie. Have you seen Congo?
I have not.
It has a talking gorilla.
Oh, wait, I did see the end of it at my parents' house once.
Amy Wan. Yeah, that's just, that's rough. That ain't pretty. Anywho, give me the 30-second, what's it going to be in Lost this weekend? What are we
going to see? I think Jack and Desmond are going to somehow end up at that hole in the ground. Somehow going down there, despite the fact that they're not supposed to go down there, is going to play a role. And then I think in the sideways, you're going to see everyone at this concert, it's all going to come together. And then from there, I'm actually honestly have no idea how it all comes together in the end. I can't even conceive. I just don't know how you finish it. I love where they're going, but I don't know how you finish it as a storyteller. I'm not sure. How about you?
Well, Richard Alpert will die. I predict he will die in the first half hour.
Mm-hmm.
He will discover that he is now suddenly mortal because now Jacob isn't around anymore, and he'll do something stupid and die. I don't think he's going to get Doc Artsed, but I think he will die. Or he may already be dying from the smoke monster hit he suffered, which is unfortunate. I still think Ben is going to turn out to be decent.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to kill Widmore because of Alex.
Right.
And so he went along with the smoke monster to save his life. But I think he's trying to play the smoke monster.
Especially now that he's not going to get the island because the island's going to go to the bottom of the ocean.
Right. I think the fact that the smoke monster wants to destroy the island will come out and Ben will, you know, realize he would rather be Napoleon.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I think that the island will see a new small group of people arrive on it at some point.
Mm.
Get stranded there towards the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Thus reminding us that the island will continue.
Right.
Because I don't think it's going to stop. I think what Jack is going to discover as the new Jacob is that you can't fight fate. And no. He can fix lots of stuff. He can change the way he acts towards it because Jack is all about fixing things. But I think that the island, they keep, you know, it's a recurring theme. You know, the island is bigger than us. The island is bigger. The island has its own. And I think the island is bigger. And whatever it is that golden light is, seems to want people to play out these little moral episodes on it, on itself.
Yeah. So,
I think we'll be introduced to some new castaways that we'll never actually meet, because Lost is ending. But well, until the zombie season.
Yes, until the zombie season.
But yeah, that's my my guess, my set of guesses.
Very cool.
Can't wait.
We'll see if we're right.
I don't know. It'll be cool and sad. I'll be sad when it's over.
I will too. I'm gonna sad and tired. I mean, it's gonna be over at 11:30 in the evening here in the East Coast. So
I'm just gonna get up early.
Yeah.
And avoid all email and Twitter and people until I've watched.
Yeah. Word is to stay off the internet starting tomorrow because Dark UFO, the major spoiler guy, has stuff he's gonna release.
I'm rat bastard. Well, at least if nothing else, his reign of tyranny will be over.
Yes. Yes.
Alright, so
all right.
There's a goat.
There's a goat.
Everybody, and have a great week.
Hey, yeah, everyone have a great week, or month, or however
whatever.
Long.
We can be up.
And next time, auto-tuned goats.
Yeah, but for now, play us out, auto-tuned bulls.